with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. It's our privilege today to be here at Oak Ridge Nissan, where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Come on out, take advantage of their 4th of July celebration. It's might be a little while before we get to the 4th, but the big deals are already happening. So come on out to Oak Ridge Nissan. You get registered for the big ticket. We'll have two qualifiers before the end of today's program. And right now, it's another way for you to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. What's up for grabs tonight?
John, we've got four vouchers for tickets you can redeem to see the Tennessee Smokies for any home game the rest of this year. Smokies have got the next 2 weeks. They are at home. They take on the Lookouts. They take on the Rocket City Trash Pandas. You don't want to miss out on their Taco Tuesdays. That's two tacos for $5. They have Thirsty Thursdays, 20-ounce beers for only $3. That's presented by Coors Light. Family Fun Day Sundays, and that's presented by the YMCA of East Tennessee. So they've got four vouchers for tickets to redeem with the Tennessee Smokies for any home game this season, if you can answer this trivia question. All right. There are three college football teams that have attended or been invited to at least 20 consecutive bowl games. This is an active streak. Name those three teams. They are Power 5 they were Power 5 teams from three different conferences. Name the three college football teams that have gone to at least 20 consecutive bowl games, an active streak, Power 5 teams from three different Power 5 conferences.
865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. It's Brad who goes first. Hello, Brad.
I'm always first, right, guys?
As long as you call first.
That's all right. That's how that works. I guess I'll start with Alabama. Ohio State, Notre Dame.
We didn't do too well on that. Nope. You got the right conference for Alabama, wrong team. You got the right conference for Ohio State, wrong team. But you did name good teams, but they are not among those with the three longest active streaks.
Brad, we sure do appreciate it. Let's go next. Have a great weekend. Let's go next to Jeff. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jeff.
Man, this is a hard one. So I'm pretty sure, despite my disdain for this particular team, they have done okay for Mark Richt's tenure and now Kirby Dumbs, but we're going to go with Georgia.
All right. Good start. Smart start.
And then I'm going to go with, gosh. So you said it wasn't Alabama?
No, and it's only one per conference now. There are three different conferences represented.
I missed that. And they're all Power 5?
Correct.
All right, I know Oklahoma's been doing pretty good with the two coaches they've had in the last couple 10 years, so I'm going to go Oklahoma.
You're doing well. One more.
Oh, don't put the pressure on me, Jimmy. I'm going to say...
It's a 5-foot birdie putt. Let's see if you can make it.
I'm going to go with... gosh, you already said it. Well, hold on. You said it wasn't Ohio State, and so there was one in every... The only other team, Penn State, they had the Sandusky stuff. I mean, Wisconsin's been pretty good. Oh, gosh. I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
Wow, you made the birdie putt.
Holy moly.
Nice job. Talked your way right through it. Georgia, 28 in a row. Oklahoma, 23 in a row. Wisconsin, 20 in a row. Alabama's been to 18 in a row. Clemson, 17 in a row. Oklahoma State, 16 in a row. But you nailed it with Georgia, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. Hey, Jeff, congratulations. You have won four vouchers that you can redeem for tickets to see any Tennessee Smokies home game for the rest of this season. Great job. We're going to put you on hold and get those vouchers to you. Way to go, Jeff.
Great. Thanks, guys. Go Vols.
Yeah, unbelievable. Have a great weekend. Off to a great start. Just able to work his way through that and just sounded it out, even though there was quite the disdain for at least one of the teams that he talked about at length.
Yeah, he did a nice job of weaving his way through that. So good job for him. And that – It was a pretty challenging question, we thought. So.
Sure was. But just so impressed that that Jeff was able to knock it out as the second guesser. But what we'll do is get a break and tell you that we're here at Oak Ridge Nissan. Come on out, get registered. We'll have two qualifiers for the big ticket by the end of today's program. And while you're here, you can help yourself to we've got some body armor on ice, the official beverage of the big ticket. And we say thank you to this year's big ticket sponsor, Food City. With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. The program today is at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Come take advantage of their 4th of July celebration already underway. Great savings, incredible selection. Come see for yourself.
And the Cup Series for NASCAR goes to Nashville, the Nashville Super Speedway. Eric Moses is the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. Our Sam Foreman had a chance to catch up with him. Here are comments from Eric Moses.
One thing I've been wanting to ask you all week, setting up for this interview on my end, in part it's because I want some clarity on this for my own viewpoint, because I've seen some contracting stuff from what I've read. Did you all expand seating capacity for this year, or is it looking towards the future that you're looking at expanding the seating capacity at Nashville Super Speedway?
So we have not expanded capacity. You know, Sam, we're about 23 to 25,000 in permanent seating in our grandstand. And then because of the really, really strong ticket sales in the inaugural year last year, we brought in another 15,000 or so temporary grandstands to get us close to 40,000. We've done that again this year, but we have no plans imminent to expand our permanent grandstand, at least until we figure out kind of where the demand is and what's the right level. With a first-year event like last year, you almost have to write that off because it's a first year. It's an inaugural. Everybody wants to be there. As we start to get into year two and three and four, we'll figure out exactly what the right number is and then make the adjustments accordingly.
While you go through that process of figuring out, should we build something more permanent as far as expanding the capacity, is there any more room to at least temporarily expand the capacity at the track even more beyond the 40,000, or is 40,000 kind of the cap with at least the temporary seating capacity?
Oh, no, we could get much larger if necessary. We've got the space to do it and certainly have the vendors that can help us in that respect if we ever need it.
You're tuned in to The Lead Lap. I'm your host, Sam Foreman, joined by Eric Moses, the president of Nashville Super Speedway. And Eric, I do want to ask you, this is the second year NASCAR returning to Nashville Super Speedway after racing at the track from 2001 through 2011. Right now, NASCAR racing, I think, is some of the best we've seen in a while with this next-gen car and all of the popularity, all the storyline and attention following it at the Cup level. The Xfinity racing has been phenomenal. Obviously, we know Junior Motorsports has been on a tear, but there's been some other great storylines there. And I don't know if I've seen a more entertaining season so far out of the Camping World Truck Series. How excited are you all at the track, and what's the vibe been like in Nashville now that we're into race week for NASCAR coming to town at the Music City?
Lots of excitement, especially amongst our fans who have been paying attention this year to what really can be described as a super exciting year. I mean, what do we have? 12 different race winners this year, 4 first-time winners this season. The parity that seems to be there out on the track is pretty interesting. And I think as the drivers and teams and crew chiefs get to learn this new car, we're going to continue to see folks fighting every week to run up front. The combination of the new car and frankly, a track that for a lot of our drivers is relatively new to them. You know, if you have guys like Logano and Bush and Truex who ran here when we were first opened in the early 2000s, they may have a bit more familiarity. But most of the field, they haven't run on this track very much, that, unless it was on sim, you know, at the race teams. And so we think that combination of getting to learn this track and also getting to learn this new car is really going to make it wide open for anybody.
While we're kind of in that territory, I do want to bring up this subject for some of our listeners who maybe don't know the full background story behind Nashville Super Speedway. And I know on your website you have at least, I don't know if you have plans for more, but there's at least a two-part YouTube series that I think was phenomenally done by you all. But NASCAR, as I mentioned, started racing at National Super Speedway back in 2001 and ran there through 2011. The track literally almost disappeared. It was almost turned into, I want to believe, an industrial site. But Speedway Motorsports purchased the property in 2021, and now the track is back on the NASCAR schedule. If you can, just kind of share a little bit about that process and what some of the bigger plans looking towards the future are for Speedway Motorsports with Nashville Super Speedway becoming one of their newer properties.
Well, it's great to be a part of the Speedway Motorsports family of tracks and of properties. You know, Bruton Smith was a visionary and somebody who has been around really since the very beginnings of this sport, along with Big Bill France. And thankfully, you know, Marcus Smith is a visionary as well. And so we benefit greatly from the resources, the vision, the passion around this sport and motorsports that this company has. And I think it's going to act as an accelerant to getting this property where we need it to be and know that it needs to be to properly service this market. So we'll get there faster. I think we'll see it in the way of investment. We're already seeing that. And I think we'll see it in terms of the creativity that we're able to employ and making certain that when race fans come here, they have the best time of their lives.
Racing's return to Nashville from a NASCAR standpoint may still be kind of in its newer phase. This is, again, as we've mentioned multiple times, just the second year of NASCAR's return to Nashville Super Speedway. But NASCAR's had a long history with the city, having the awards ceremony there for a number of years. But Nashville, while it's known as the Music City, has really been kind of turning into a sports city more and more by the year over the last decade, especially. I know, unfortunately, the city just lost, kind of making the finalist cut for the World Cup, but big plans coming for the Titans. Obviously, big news this week with former Governor Bill Haslam going to become a part of the ownership for the Nashville Predators. You've got the soccer team that's doing well. So far, lots of big things happening. Where do you think racing in NASCAR and Nashville Super Speedway fits into the greater sports picture in the mid-state in Nashville?
Well, you know, Nashville is quickly becoming a tier one sports town. And I think motorsports has a lot to do with that and is contributing to it. You know, last year, we kind of kicked off this, what I like to call the music city, the motorsports city kind of journey. On Father's Day weekend with our inaugural NASCAR weekend. Following that in July, we had Tony Stewart's SRX races down at the Fairground Speedway. And then the next month in August, we had the Music City Grand Prix downtown. So three major motorsports events going on in the same summer in the mid-state, I think can't be ignored. We're bringing thousands and thousands of people into our state to stay in our hotels, to eat in our restaurants, to experience Music City and the rest of Middle Tennessee. And I think it's going to do more to help us be seen around the country as a tier one sports town.
Looking at, again, NASCAR as a whole, a lot of changes potentially coming still in the future with different tracks. And we've seen some changes recently to the Cup Series schedule. I know you don't have a lot of details, but again, all signs point in the right direction with racing in Tennessee from a NASCAR standpoint still being something NASCAR wants to continue to invest in, as well as Nashville Super Speedway still having a prominent spot in NASCAR's schedule as well, correct?
Yeah. I've heard only positive things coming from NASCAR and Speedway Motorsports and, frankly, everyone in the industry. NBC is over the moon excited about kicking off their coverage of our season in Nashville again this year. And Nashville is a spot that I think the entire industry knows is a super important market and one that will remain on the schedule for the future. And so no reason to believe that that this original four-year sanctioning agreement that we have here for our cup race won't turn into 40 years. So.
And this may be kind of an out-there question. I don't know if this has been kicked around, so maybe it's hypothetical, but we've heard a lot of rumors about NASCAR getting interested in maybe adding a street course style race to the schedule, and that could maybe be something that rotates. If NASCAR goes street course racing, that becomes something that rotates through. I mean, if NASCAR goes that route, Nashville's a perfect place to not only have a race at Nashville Super Speedway, but also we could go street course racing very easily in the Music City, correct?
Yeah, I think the city sets up well for any number of things. And as we saw from the Music City Grand Prix, a street race can work really well. There's some fantastic views and vantage points with which to run that kind of race. And so I think the sky's the limit on what we can do here. And the thing that will matter most really is the support that we get from the fans, from you know, local businesses and the community. If we show the support in the way that Nashville tends to do, as I say to people, you know, Nashvillians, they vote with their feet, you know, as they did with the NFL draft and NHL All-Star game and CMA Fest last week. They vote with their feet. And I think if we continue to see that with these motorsports events, we'll continue to have more, and companies will continue to look for ways to bring their events to Nashville.
One final question for you. For race fans in the state of Tennessee who would consider going to the mid-state but maybe can't make it to this weekend's NASCAR race, what other events can they find at the track throughout the year?
I would send them to our website, nationalsuperspeedway.com, under events. We are quickly growing our non-NASCAR event schedule here, and that is one of the things that we've seen that has improved immensely with our inclusion in the Speedway Motorsports family. So NASCAR racing experience, if you want to come out and drive a stock car on our track or ride along. The Rusty Wallace racing experience also happened. Last week we hosted the Motor Trend Hot Rod Power Tour. Nashville Cars and Coffee has relocated from Cool Springs here to the track, and that's every first Saturday of the month out here. We get thousands of car enthusiasts out here with their rides. There's just more and more car shows and drifting contests and things of that nature that are on our schedule moving forward. And then quickly we'll start moving into concerts and festivals and hopefully sporting events. I have been very clear out in public about wanting to do football games here and soccer tournaments and other things of that nature. We were fortunate last year to host a high school cross-country meet here in Wilson County, and I think there are any number of opportunities and options for us to fully leverage this venue because of its uniqueness, its positioning, where it's located, to do all kinds of things for families to take advantage of.
Well, speaking as a member of the media here in Knoxville, I enjoyed seeing the University of Tennessee play a football game at Bristol Motor Speedway. I think it could be highly entertaining seeing, I don't know, Tennessee Vanderbilt at Nashville Super Speedway. I think that could be very interesting. If football is something that you all really want to get into, it definitely worked well at the Battle of Bristol between the Vols and the Hokies of Virginia Tech. But, Eric, before we let you go, did we miss anything fans need to know about anything to do with this weekend's NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Rackley Roofing 200, the Xfinity Series Tennessee Lottery 250, or the Cup Series Ally 400 taking place this weekend at Nashville Super Speedway?
I think there are a couple of enhancements we've done on the hospitality side that I would be remiss if I didn't mention. For those looking for a authentic Nashville and Music City experience, we will have a Tootsie's Infield Club here that we partner with Tootsie's on. That's going to be hopping during all 3 days. For those who have infield access, either through a fan walk pass or a pre-race track pass, they will be able to enjoy some adult beverages and some shade and some lawn games and music down in Tootsie's Infield Club. We've also introduced this year outside of Turn 4 a 615 Beer Garden, which will have a similar kind of experience for those who don't have infield access but want to get in some shade, get properly hydrated, and have some fun with fellow fans. And then we've got a hospitality village for those who may be looking to come out in groups still and have a turnkey kind of hospitality experience where the tent gets set up for you, food and beverage, and everything that you need in the tent. All you have to do is show up. All of these things can be accessed from our website, NashvilleSuperspeedway.com.
He is Eric Moses, the president of Nashville Super Speedway. Eric, again, appreciate you spending some time with us here this week on the Lead Lap. Best of luck as you get into the final stages of prep for this weekend's races, and wishing you nothing but success on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, hoping big things for year number two, Nashville's return to hosting NASCAR racing.
Appreciate it very much, and we hope all of Eastern Tennessee will come on out and support us. We got a few things for you down here in the mid-state, so come on out and have a good time down here with us this weekend.
Eric Moses, president of the Nashville Super Speedway, with our Sam Foreman. And you can hear that on the Lead Lap. The Lead Lap is Sam's taken over that and done a great job with that, but you have an opportunity to hear that on the Lead Lap. The podcast, you can go to our website to find it. 991thesportsanimal.com.
With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson, the program here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Come on out, get registered for the big ticket. Again, getting closer to the end of the show, so if you're in the neighborhood, feel free to swing by. But also, if you want to make sure that you do get your name in the running, then you can go to 991thesportsanimal.com and you can see where all the shows will be on location during the build-up to the grand prize giveaway for the big ticket, which is coming up July 14th. But we appreciate everyone that's come by, and if you're in Oak Ridge, you still have time to get by, as we'll probably have the drawing here in the next 15 minutes or so. Very interesting situation. Just love the way this is one of the things that Twitter can just be wonderful. So there is the catching legend, Johnny Bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Justin Bench, who plays for Ole Miss, which is tomorrow going to start game one against Oklahoma for the College World Series championship. So Justin Bench plays for Ole Miss. There is no relation, but Johnny Bench is active on Twitter, and I loved what he started and how the Ole Miss Justin Bench responded. So Johnny, the legend, tweets, "Tuning into the College World Series with my son Justin Bench to watch Ole Miss baseball's Justin Bench, whose dad's name is also John." And then,
all right,
then Johnny Bench goes on to say, "But I'm still rooting for my Sooners of Oklahoma." So Justin Bench tweets at Johnny Bench. This is the Rebels' Justin Bench. He tweets, "Thanks, Dad. Thank you for everything you have taught me. Hotty toddy. Hashtag go Rebs. At Ole Miss Baseball." And so it was just a great back and forth, and now there is a ton of confusion for many. But I just think it's really interesting that Johnny Bench, the catching legend and Hall of Famer, has his son Justin. They tune in to watch, and sure enough, there is a Justin Bench on television whose dad happens to be named John, although it's just two sets of John and Justin, father, son, benches, but no relation between the two groups.
I like that. That's pretty cool. And what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're Johnny Bench sitting there watching Ole Miss, and then they got a catcher whose name is the same name as your son.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's neat. And then the Ole Miss catcher, his dad is also named John.
Right.
So
he's actually a utility player. He's an emergency catcher, but he primarily plays in the outfield, but he can play just about anywhere.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I just love how Justin Bench of Ole Miss handled the response, and I love the fact that Johnny took the time to share it. And again, if you're not following Johnny Bench, you can do so by @JohnnyBench_5. That is his Twitter address. And then I don't know if you happen to see this, which is – to me, my favorite aspect of anything we've seen in baseball this week. Now, there was a lot that went down when, and rightly so, in terms of great praise, as the Yankees are playing in Toronto and Aaron Judge crushes a ball into the stands, and it is a Toronto Blue Jay fan that catches the home run hit by Aaron Judge. He's not enthused that he's just caught the Judge home run because it means his team is now losing by an even greater margin, but he turns around immediately and hands it to a Yankee fan, a young man, probably 11 or 12. I think he's in that range, but he's wearing the Yankee hat. So he gives him the Aaron Judge home run ball, and the young man immediately gives a bear hug to the guy who gave him the ball. Well, Aaron Judge was so touched by the Toronto fans' actions that the very next day, he invites both the Toronto Blue Jay fan and the young Aaron Judge fan down to the Yankees dugout before the game. So it was a really cool moment. And I'll let you watch the video, which is always great to watch video while you're doing a live radio show. But let's go back to the Royals and the Angels earlier this week, and it was really cool. The right fielder for the Royals throws it up into the stands, and there's a guy who makes the catch, and he tosses it down to a young man who's sitting next to his dad in the front row. And the young man loves the fact that he gave him the baseball. Later in the game, an Angels home run winds up being caught by the kid in the front row. What does he do? He turns around and tosses the ball to the gentleman who gave him the ball. So it's like, I got two, you have one. So you have an older gentleman, and he's still youngish, But I just love that moment because there was the young fan in the front row who first was gifted a ball that had been tossed into the outfield seats by the right fielder for the Royals. And then when a home run landed, was caught by that young Angels fan, he then turned around and tossed it to the gentleman who had given him the ball. So it's like, hey, I get to give you one now.
That's another really cool moment.
That's right. So what you have are a couple of fine young men, the younger Angels fan who turned around to say, I will say thank you for what you did, and now let me do the same. And then also the youngster for Ole Miss baseball, Justin Bench, who did such a great job of just rolling with what Johnny Bench tweeted in terms of seeing Justin Bench play for Ole Miss, but he's still pulling for his Sooners.
You have called a lot of baseball games. You have been to a lot of baseball games, I guess at one point hitting every major league stadium.
Yes.
Until they started adding new ones.
That's right. I'm seven short now.
Did you ever catch a ball?
No. I got a finger on one.
Ah.
And it was down in Texas, and it was at the ballpark in Arlington, which has now come and gone. But it was Mark McGwire hit a screamer. We were seated about almost up to the top of the lower concourse, and he hit a screamer straight back that cleared what was a much shorter safety net than the backstop. And it kicked off the top step and rolled back down. And as I reached behind me, I got a fingernail on that ball before somebody did a full flat-out dive for it. And if I hadn't pulled my hand back, he would have landed square on my arm, and who knows what the injury might have been. But anyhow, I got a fingernail on one. And then one of the first games I went to, I'll never forget, at Fulton County Stadium, my dad and I are seated in the first row, which is right under – it would be the first row that wouldn't be in the dry, to describe it, as if put it in Neyland Stadium terms. But so the had the overhang of the upper decks – and so we're right in that front row. Bake McBride hits a foul ball in our direction, and I'm watching it between my two hands. I've got it centered in the gap between my right hand and my left hand, and I'm thinking it's coming my way. And it hit the very end of that concrete overhang, and it landed in the row right in front of us. And there was a gentleman that was sitting right there that he wound up with it. But he was kind enough to let me take a look at it, but I'll never forget. Bake McBride, I remember it to this day. And I also wonder whether or not my hands were close enough together or what I would have just taken a ball to the face. Because I was just watching it. I was tracking it into both hands, and then it hit that overhang and then right into the row in front of us.
Wow. Well, I couldn't catch a ball when I was playing, so I certainly wasn't going to catch a foul ball. I'm just glad the movie Edward Scissorhands wasn't around when I played. Otherwise, I might have copped a nickname.
Might have been your nickname,
yeah.
Huh?
But no, that's pretty neat. I think there was a time when I'd been to 13 or 14 major league parks. I'd been to like six of them in California. Never came close to catching a foul ball. Never in the vicinity.
Yeah, and it's always – that's one of the first things you think about. Now I've wound up being on big screens based on where I was seated more so than being in play for a foul ball. It had a buddy of mine that he and I were going to take a trip. This was when Tampa and Arizona had just joined. And so the flight, the plan was going to be go out to see the Diamondbacks play, then take advantage of the very cheap airfare that would be direct from Phoenix to Honolulu and then back, because that would have been my 50th state, and then fly back to Tampa and then come home, and you've caught up on the ballparks. Well, pal decides to buy a brand new computer. So a week before the trip, backs out. So I turned to my mom and I said, hey, I got a seat available. Do you want to go? So she was such an incredible trooper. She said, sure. So we go out to Arizona playing the Rockies and Todd Helton. And we're seated down the left field line, and it was just interesting because we're right there about one row behind the fence, and you always see those people at the ballpark that are on camera, they don't know it, and then they realize it right at the tail end, and they point right at the big screen. That's exactly what the reaction was. It's like, wow, those people look familiar, and it's like, that's us. So I was on the big screen. I've been on the big, and it happened at another where it was right where our section was that got put up on the video board. So twice I've been on the video board, I've only got to touch one foul ball. But mom was such a trooper. And then what was really cool is she never imagined that she would ever get to go to Hawaii. And she said on our last day there, because we were there for just 3 days, but she said, thank you so much for making the offer. And it's like, hey, I couldn't have thought of, there's not a better person I could have taken this trip with. So that was a really cool moment because she got to see Hawaii.
Hawaii's a beautiful state.
It is.
Beautiful.
Just gorgeous. From Oak Ridge Nissan, make sure you come on by and take advantage of their 4th of July sale abration. Great selection. Outstanding variety when it comes to either new or used vehicles. You'll find it here at Oak Ridge Nissan.
And, John, there are a couple of local pros that have made the cut at the Travelers Championship up in Cromwell, Connecticut. Scott Stallings at 2 under par. He's tied for 60th. He made the cut on the money. He opened with a 74, came back with a 64. Only one score was better during the day. That was by Xander Schauffele, who's got a 5-shot lead. He's 14 under par. Also, Peter Melnotti made the cut. Shot 69, 68. He's 3 under par. He's tied for 49th place there. So those two have made the cut. David Skins, who played at Tennessee, did not. He was 1 under par. That was a cut line. Rory McIlroy at one point was 13 under par, made an 8 on a par 4, the 12th hole. Then he came back with another double bogey. He ended up at 8 under par for the tournament. He dropped 5 shots in the last 6 or so holes because of the quadruple bogey. All right, Ashley Rogers, Tennessee pitchers, decided to return. There was some scuttlebutt that she might hang it up. She is a grad student. She's already got her degree, but she is going to return to Tennessee, and that's good news for Tennessee. When healthy, she is an outstanding pitcher. Her career earned run average, 1.68, 19 shutouts, 638 career strikeouts, 59 wins. Opponents have hit 157 against her. That's the batting average she has yielded. Very impressive. Now, she had records in the past of 21-7 and 26-10. Because of back injuries, she only had 15 starts this past year, but she still gave up batting average of only 156. So she is returning. And, John, they have got 3 newcomers as pitchers. They've got 3 returners as pitchers. And they shape up to have a really, really good staff. There is a pitcher that's coming in that Tennessee's very excited about. We mentioned her before. Her name is Peyton Godshaw. She is from Bowling Green. She has got 2 years of eligibility left. How about this? 784 career strikeouts, a career ERA of 1.77. She's shown 3 perfect games. She's the MAC Player of the Year for 2022. And against Tennessee, she had 12 strikeouts in a game against the Lady Vols. So with Godshaw, with Rogers, with some of the players coming in and other returners, Tennessee should be very well stocked at pitcher. And then UAB football coach Bill Clark is stepping down. He abruptly resigned. He has had a really good run. He was there when they decided to do away with football and then decided to restore football. It took him about 3 years to get it back on track. He said it's the hardest decision ever, but he's having spinal fusion to repair back issues that he's had. He just can't continue, he said. Won a couple of Conference USA titles. He was 49-26 with UAB, which is a remarkable record when you consider that they had to restart the program.
Yes.
And so that I'm really impressed with the job that he did. Shame that he's had the back difficulties that he has had. And also, College World Series this weekend, Oklahoma versus Ole Miss. John, who do you like?
Going to go with Oklahoma, although Ole Miss certainly has that look of a team of destiny. Just for them to be playing so well, another shutout, just so impressed with how they bounced back after their only postseason loss, talking about the NCAA tournament, by getting a complete game shutout from Dylan DeLucia. I do wonder whether or not their pitching can hold up. Oklahoma just seems to be playing like a ball of fire as they are 3-0 at the College World Series, and they have been on a roll. So I'm going to lean towards Oklahoma, but certainly Ole Miss, I think, has a great chance. This is the first time that Ole Miss has played for a College World Series championship. They had made the Final Four, essentially, on 2 occasions. Oklahoma is 2-for-2 previously when having an opportunity to win the College World Series.
Well, we'll see if the Rebels can get it done. Mississippi State won it last year. We'll see if the state of Mississippi can deliver another College World Series for the state and for the SEC.
Yeah, how crazy would that be?
Yeah.
And especially for the roller coaster ride that it's been for Ole Miss. I mean, they took a nosedive, and then they finished so strong, and now they've continued to ride that wave of momentum into the College World Series. And I thought it was interesting, and it was actually Penny who pointed this out, that you mentioned that the pitcher from Bowling Green has the first name Peyton. There were two players, one for Ole Miss and one for Arkansas, each named after Peyton Manning because it's the P-E-Y-T-O-N first name. And so I just thought that's a name that's obviously part of the lexicon. And not saying that they are automatically Peyton Manning fans. It just means you like the name. Yeah. But there were two P-E-Y-T-O-Ns that were competing to win the bracket as they decided it between the Hogs and the Rebels.
All right, John, we got the big ticket. We got to draw a couple of qualifiers, a big ticket. That's season tickets for Tennessee football, men's and women's basketball, baseball and softball, and also the Ice Bear. So we'll have a drawing in about 3 weeks.
Yep.
One of our qualifiers today, LaToya Miller. LaToya Miller.
And Kay Porter from Clinton. Congratulations to Kay Porter. We appreciate everybody that came by. And again, remember to get out to Oak Ridge Nissan, take advantage of their 4th of July celebration. We appreciate all of our guests. Have a great weekend. Smokies Baseball is next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.